Brett Lear took over as executive director of the Garfield County Library System late last year. He brings with him over 30 years of experience, starting at the New York Public Library System and working in Florida, Oregon, and California since. He holds a master's degree in library science from Florida State and a master's of business administration from Sonoma State. Those who've met him are saying we are very lucky to have a new leader with such deep knowledge for this vital organization. Thanks so much for coming into the KD&K studios, Brett. It's great to meet you.
Yeah, it's great to meet you too, and thanks for having me.
This is your first time at the station, so you get to see our record collection up close. You're a record collector yourself, right?
I am. I've been collecting records probably since I was 18 years old, and mostly vinyl, which kind of went out of style there for a while, but it's back.
It's back, and KD&K very well stocked as well. So I'm sure we can trade collection ideas here.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we have a great library system serving the KD&K listening area. Not only the six branches of GCPLD that you run, but also the Basalt Library is fabulous, plus the Pickens County Libraries and Lake County Public Library in Leadville. Great resources. You've been offering FaceTime with library users as you settle into your role and to your new home in Rifle with your family. Talk about this morning's coffee meetup, for example. What do people want to ask you when they meet you?
Sure. We're calling these coffee with the director. Once a month, I'll be in one of our libraries meeting with the public. I started this when I was back as a director in Florida. I was new, and, as a director, sometimes you get in your office and you don't get to meet folks day to day. So I started it there, and then I brought it with me to California. Wanted to do the same thing here. So, yeah, today was the kickoff. It was in Glenwood Springs. Had about 25 people show up.
Wow, which that was a lot.
Yeah, I've had one person show up sometimes. Yeah. So, this was good. I think the initial ones will just be me putting myself out there, letting folks know that, I want to connect with the community. Great questions today. People remain concerned about library funding. They do want to see library hours restored. They were reduced a couple years ago. Had a lot of questions too about, what kind of partnerships do we have throughout the community? What classes do we offer for adults and children? So had some great suggestions. One lady volunteered to teach sign language to the public. But it seemed like a lot of the questions today, were just, can you do more around, bringing in performers, educators, and partnership building seemed to be some of the themes.
Well, and a good foundation that you're working with already, KD&K does 6 days a week, a community calendar throughout the day on our station. And we list a lot of library events.
Now,
Basalt Library may have you guys beat in terms of volume per branch.
Yeah, I look at them in the paper and I sometimes feel a little competitive.
But I also say that KD&K has been so thrilled to start building our relationship with Lacey at the Carbondale branch, and I look forward to us strengthening our role in hopefully helping to amplify the things you're doing at the other branches. The elephant in the room for Garfield County Libraries has been the budget.
Right.
We have absolutely gorgeous facilities built largely with private money donated for the good of the community, right? And Or in part.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then looking to the present and the future, how does operational funding for the libraries work? And what's the landscape as you hit the ground running here?
Yeah, so right now we really have two sources of revenue. One is a one mill levy that generates about a half of our budget. And then the other half is a quarter cent sales tax. So the two together make up pretty much the entirety of our budget. We get about half from each, so it's pretty evenly split between a sales tax and property tax. When I first started looking at this job, I looked at the budget and, it was about $4.5 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but when you're running six locations and you have 50 staff and all that, it's a pretty modest budget. So, since the day I started, I've been looking really closely at finances and, just trying to make sure that, what we do now is sustainable, and certainly I'd like to bring back those hours that were lost. That's what I heard most from the public when I first started is, just get the libraries open more.
Well, it seems like a lot of library supporters or critics, I guess, may not realize what the reality of libraries is now compared to maybe how it was when they grew up. For example, I'm in the buddy program. I'm a buddy, and we Wednesday early release day, for example, Carbondale Library is overrun with kids. Yeah. Now that's good. We want kids at the library. That's good. But it's a very different, a lot of kids on a computer playing a video game is a different idea of what a library's purposes.
Yeah.
And so I know that that's both a opportunity and a challenge.
Yeah.
So how are libraries different now than when you started 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think when I started 30 years ago, we mostly thought of libraries as the place to go to get books. And
right.
That's certainly still true.
Oh, absolutely.
We absolutely do that still. But as you said, now, libraries are a place of education for kids. We offer classes, events, not only for children, but adults and teens. We help people find jobs. So, workforce development, education, we still do the book thing, but we've just added quite a bit to our palette over the years.
And a lot of online access. A lot of people
Absolutely.
I know go E-books. To the library specifically for access to a computer or access to a printer,
Right.
Office functions. I also had the privilege of joining a strategic planning session with your predecessor, Jesse Henning. Did you step into a big planning project underway, or is that process complete?
Yeah, well, I inherited the strategic plan, which I think is a beautiful document, really. Mm-hmm. I looked in, to how the process was done. As you said, it was done with heavy community involvement, mm-hmm. which I think is super important. What we need to do now is, we have the plan, we have our priorities, lifelong learning, connecting to the community, financial sustainability. And now I'm starting work with the staff to really flesh that out and, design the services and that support the plan. But the plan itself, I think, is spot on.
What are some of the priorities? You just mentioned them in briefly, but
yeah.
do you feel like you're going to pretty much endorse what you were handed? I mean, does it match with you? I mean, you come with a lot more experience than
yeah.
our previous director.
Yeah.
We loved Jesse, but I mean, you've got depth of experience from your degrees and all these different library systems. Do you think that it's pretty right on in terms of what you want to see happen?
Yeah, it feels right on, and again, knowing that these focus groups and community conversations happened, I think a strategic plan should reflect the will of the community. And mm-hmm. I trust that happened. What I want to do now is do some public surveying and that, and, just drill down a little deeper, what does connect to the community mean, to the public, what does lifelong learning mean? What type of classes would the public like to see? So I think now we just have to get a little bit more granular, but I think, I think the outline is really well done.
In terms of partnerships, you mentioned that was one of the things people ask you about. In terms of the Glenwood branch, the opening of Mortgage Commons to me seemed like such a wise planning decision and such a great model that for not just for partnership but also for community service.
Yep.
And so Colorado Mountain College, obviously a key partner for the library. How is that set up exactly at Glenwood? Is this entire building library property, or is that upstairs basically a separate, like a condo?
Yeah, the library pretty much has the ground floor. The college is, upstairs. And then there's some common parts of the commons. So mm-hmm. there's some overlap in terms of, lobby space and that. But the areas are fairly distinct. One thing when I started, I just, as much partnering as we can do with CMC, the better. My wife has started to work for them. So,
great.
I think that's going to be a nice conduit. I've met Carrie Hauser and that, but I think the more that we can do together, the better, particularly probably around things like adult education and that, GED, English as a second language classes. But we certainly share a mission around a lot of things.
Absolutely. And key to get the lay of the land so that you're not duplicating efforts, right?
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to have two different sign language classes in both in Glenwood on the same day.
That's
or
exactly
something.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then living in Rifle, for our Carbondale listeners who don't head out as west as much, what's your experience of the western part of the county? I mean, are the needs of the library patron in Carbondale and Rifle the same?
No, I'd say a lot of it is the same. Folks love to read, and they like to take their children to learn how to read and to be read to. So there's that. But certainly the community, the 3 or 4 months I've been here, I think there's quite a bit of difference, say, between the community in Parachute and here in Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important for me to get out into the community as much as possible to talk to folks and, see where the overlap is, but also where are there some distinct needs.
Another thing I wonder, just I didn't think of this in advance, but in terms of kind of the hierarchy of how the library system works,
uh-huh.
So you have the 6 branch managers,
right?
And then what else happens at kind of at the administrative level? Who else is your team at the leadership side?
Yeah, we're a pretty lean team.
Yeah.
There's myself. There's a deputy director, Amy Shipley. We have a head of marketing. We have a chief financial officer, and we have an HR person, and I'm an assistant, and that's all of us. So there's five or six of us.
I feel like I see Emily Heisel's name all the time because of email. Yeah. Is she the marketing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's so awesome.
Yo, yeah. I mean, that is one powerhouse person you got right there. So a small staff, and then you said about 50 total. That's combined amongst your, not just your library directors, but all of your librarians.
All of us.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And in terms of the library workforce, at what level do you need a Master of Library Science degree? Is that in order to be a director?
No, that's at the library manager level.
Okay.
And up. So, yeah.
So there's not a huge barrier to entry for people to work there. It's just that you don't have the resources to expand staff beyond where you are right now.
Right. You know what I thought was really great about the staff when I started is it seems like everyone, is on their second or third career, which is really cool. You know, we have ex-military and we have people that, you know, we're nurses, and it's a really diverse workforce. So, not only are they wonderful to work for, but, you know, they've just got great experience.
We've also seen even just here in Carbondale, it can be a challenge to retain good people because of the budget issues. Right. So I know there are at least one librarian that I really liked at Carbondale who got a better paying job in Aspen and left the system. So I imagine that's another challenge is how do you retain the good people you've got?
Yeah, I'm starting to talk to, our HR folks about that because I do have some worry that, that people are going to, get people stolen away, So we are going to do a market study at some point and just, see how we compare to not only other systems, but, other organizations in the county that, have people doing similar things to us.
Talking to Brett Lear, Executive Director of Garfield County Library System. Now, you have your educational background is both in library science and in business administration. Yeah, yeah. Sure seems like the right set of qualifications for the challenges that the library system faces.
Yeah, I came up from a liberal arts background, so English and that. And, I think as I got, to be a director, I was starting to feel a little embarrassed maybe that I didn't, acquire some of the tools that you would think an executive would have. So for years, I thought about a business degree and I finally knuckled down and did it, 18 months of no sleep and all that. And it's really paid off. It's really helped me understand the business side of, basically running a nonprofit.
Well, and sure sounds encouraging to have the library system that so many of us count on in the hands of, somebody with that experience. One other thing I want to ask you about before we go is the American Library Association. And I first became aware of the important work the ALA does back during the George W. Bush administration when Congress passed the Patriot Act. The ALA fights for civil liberties, including freedom of expression and privacy. And I think not enough people realize that it was a big deal for the ALA to stand up for library users in the face of government surveillance. And the idea that the government wanted to review every single item that any particular patron would check out. So if I choose personally to read the, the Quran or the Mein Kampf or whatever, that's my right as a library patron. And so I've been really impressed with the ALA. You've served on a couple of national committees there. Does that background help you with, for example, serving the needs of so many Spanish speakers here in this valley?
Yeah, I was the chair years ago of the services to the Spanish-speaking community through the American Library Association. That was, that was a great learning experience. As part of the committee, we developed guidelines and that around serving Spanish speakers and Latinos. And it's just been something that I've always carried forward as an interest of mine. So, here with, the Spanish speakers, the Latino community, it remains, not only a personal interest of mine, but a professional interest. And, I've already started talking to staff and, seeing what we're doing to serve folks who speak Spanish and that. And we can certainly do more. We can build a stronger collection. We can, try to recruit more staff members that speak Spanish. But it's an exciting challenge.
I definitely see that at the Carbondale Library when I'm there with my buddy. I mean, there's great resources for that. And also as a movie geek, I was about to tell you before we came in the room that I'm obsessed with cinema. The library system is a great way to keep up with current cinema, not just the archives. And there have even been films that I've been really impressed. I couldn't get from Netflix. I couldn't get elsewhere that through this library system and the interlibrary loan, I was able to get, including in Spanish, that I watched with English subtitles. Yeah. So it definitely seems like great resources for folks that are trying to learn a second language in either direction.
I totally agree. I'm a film buff too. And when I worked for Jefferson County Library years ago, and that was probably my favorite thing about, you know, all the libraries in the state being connected is you could get some films that you just could not get otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to say thanks so much to Brett Lear, Executive Director of the Garfield County Public Library System. Let's get you back on Community Radio KDNK again soon. Maybe we can get you bring some records in.
Oh, I'd love that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.